Welcome to a new What's Up Welland conversation. Today we have a first-time guest but longtime friend of the show talking about one of the, I would say, better known, most known events that take place across the summer in the city of Welland. Concerts on the Canal is a huge event that draws people to our beautiful waterfront, and we have the pleasure of chatting with Alexis Higginbotham, Executive Director of the Welland Downtown BIA. Mark, have you been to one of these concerts before? Do you know what, or do you have an idea of what we may be getting into with Alexis?
Classic Paul double barrel question. No, I have not been yet, but yes, I do know about them and, you know, kind of what to expect. Hopefully this year, this summer, is the first time I'm able to get out. We're going to ask Alexis, like you said, all about concerts, but a little bit more about what the WDBIA, more acronyms, because why not?
Who doesn't love an acronym?
Right? A little bit about that, and I'm going to try and squeeze her on the question marks on the Concerts on the Canal schedule. I don't think I'm going to get a response or an answer, which is okay, but I will ask the question and we'll see what happens.
Can't hurt to try.
That's right. So without further ado, let's get rolling with Alexis and find out what's up Welland.
Today, we are sitting with Alexis Higginbotham, Executive Director of the Welland Downtown Business Improvement Area, but we are not talking so much about the area. We are diving into Concerts on the Canal. Alexis, welcome to What's Up Welland.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks, Mark, for having me.
So, Concerts on the Canal, somewhat of an annual event now that we are out of COVID. It's back in full swing. Alexis, what is the series? Some people listening may have gone in the past. Some people may be hearing about this for the first time. What are the details folks in Welland and coming to Welland should know about this?
Well, that's a very good question, Paul. So Concerts on the Canal is free, family-friendly entertainment on seven Fridays and one Saturday, that being Canada Day, down at Merritt Park, which is at 151 King Street here in our lovely downtown Welland. A few things that I would remind guests would be that the stage goes live at 7. We are there from 6 to 9 with food vendors for alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverage purchases. There's also food by way of Cool Licks will be on site with ice cream and snacks, and you can come down and have some dinner as well before you watch the concert. As I mentioned, there will be a beer garden operating from 6 to 9 p.m., so please make sure to bring your ID with you. Parking, which is very important. Parking will be available at the Market Square. There will be parking along King Street, but obviously that's a first-come, first-serve. And there will be some accessible parking right in front of our Welland Historical Museum. Again, first-come, first-serve.
So, Alexis, you gave us a good rundown of kind of the who, what, why, where, when, some of the more technical details that you can, you know, really define on a page. But when it comes to actually experiencing the event, how would you describe that experience? You know, for a lot of us, especially music lovers, getting outside in the open air, listening to a concert, it doesn't get much better than that. But just overall, what's the experience? What would you share with somebody who hasn't been before to say, this is what you can expect. This is what you can feel.
Well, you can expect a great night of music and entertainment. We've tried our best this year to incorporate different genres from that we've had in the past. We do stick with some of our favorites, so there are some cover bands as well. But we find that a lot of people last year, especially with our return, came through on bikes or walking or even on the canal. If we notice in a lot of our pictures from last year, we had a substantial amount of people on kayaks and canoes watching from the water who brought some glow sticks and sparklers, etc. So it really turns into a more main stage event where we can incorporate the water, and there's no better stage than a floating stage on the water.
So again, if you don't feel like walking on down, paddle on down. It's available. You may not be able to see the front of the stage, but you'll be able to experience the music, the atmosphere, and then just paddle away when you're done.
That's right. And we've seen, I would say the average last year, we had about 30 to 40 people in the water at each concert, especially more on Canada Day. There seemed to be, obviously, with the holiday and it being on a Saturday this year, I suspect we'll see even more people. And we also had a small gathering across the canal, which obviously you're looking at the back of the stage, but you can still hear the music clear as a bell. And a lot of our neighbors, residents that live in the area, said that they are happy to just sit out on their balconies, enjoy a beverage of their choice while they listen to the music. So we get a lot of those compliments as well.
Awesome. So you mentioned just a little bit about, you know, some of the people coming back, some new acts. How is that schedule created? How are the artists or bands or entertainment picked so that it's not the same every year, right? Because some people might, oh, I really enjoyed X last year. Why isn't it back this year? Or why did you get rid of, right? That kind right. of an idea. So walk us through a little bit about how you approach, you know, that process.
Well, it's done as a collaboration because we do have our neighbors out in Font Hill and Port Colborne who also do concerts. So early in the process, we meet with them and talk about what their plans are. Because obviously we don't want to overlap talent. We don't want to book the same talent on the same week. And we also want to give everybody a different experience because we realize that a lot of our concert goers will also be visiting Port Colborne and Font Hill. So we try to collaborate and come up with a schedule that works for everybody. So for example, last year we did the Drag It to the Canal, which was a Pride event that we worked in tandem with Pride Niagara on. This year we chose to go a different route and we chose to highlight our Latino community here in Welland and with the incorporation of Sugar Heat, which will be in July. So we try to highlight different genres every year. And obviously you're always going to have rock and roll and country and those big standouts, but we try to do something niche every year and a little different because we do have a very strong multicultural population in Welland and we'd like to highlight that as well. So next year we will be doing something different.
Alexis, beyond highlighting the Latino community, are there any other acts, are there any other guests that you're excited to talk about today before I get into another question for you?
Well, I am happy to say that we will have Welland's own Jeff Beadle performing here as well on the stage. He will be an opener. I went to high school with Jeff and I'm thrilled to have him out. And he was a late addition, but a great addition nonetheless. So we're really excited to see Jeff perform.
So yeah, we did go to high school with Jeff. How does the talent come together? So do you try to stick local for talent or how far out are some of these bands or acts coming from?
We do try to stick local for the most part. We understand that obviously local talent does travel as well. So it's a very strategic process because we also have to touch base with their agents and find out if they're traveling. You know, Jeff may have been on tour and that might not have worked, but fortunately for us, he is in the area. So it's meeting with the talent, their teams to figure out who's going to come through. But I think the furthest that we've had someone travel was in 2019 from Quebec when we had Les Rats de Swamp for our French evening, where we featured local talent from the high schools, from the French high schools, as well as the main act from Quebec.
So regardless of where the talent is coming from, they're coming to Welland, they're coming to our downtown. What are the benefits of having a concert series like this? How does it benefit the downtown? How does it benefit the city of Welland? I mean, you've been doing these for a couple of years, so yeah, what's your take on that side of it?
Well, it's always our hope as being a business improvement area that people will come a little earlier than 6 o'clock, check out our downtown. And obviously some of our merchants will be closed by that time because it is a Friday, but we're encouraging people to walk around, see the different shops, the different restaurants, the different places that we have to offer that perhaps you could come back and visit at another time. And in speaking with our restaurants, we did notice that there was an uptick in business earlier in our downtown restaurants last year than there ever has been. So on a Friday night, for example, people tend to come home, unwind a bit, and maybe go for a later dinner. But during concert nights, they noticed that the crowd was coming in earlier, mentioning to the server that they did have to go out and be out in time to be able to go down to the concert venue. So that's a bonus for them as well. So they're having some food and some drinks and then heading down to the concert venue. So that's what we'd like to see, is to highlight our downtown.
So beyond concerts, because of course what you do as a BIA extends far beyond one particular event or series in this case, What else do you guys have cooking up? What else is either kind of a standing regular item, or is there anything new that you're eager to dip into, or just what else you guys have going on right now?
So we actually have started networking events, which some may be familiar with the term business after five. This is a little bit more informal than that. So we did meet for our first one in May 29th at The Honest Lawyer, and it's from 5 to 7 p.m. And the idea of the networking event is for our businesses within our catchment area to come out and meet each other. Meet your board, meet your fellow business owners, meet some residents, just get to know each other and get to understand what the BIA does, how we can help them, and how they are a member. Because there seems to be a lot of people who are still uncertain about what a BIA's role is and how it works with the city, the region, and various other organizations. So we've had some success with that. Our next one is scheduled for Tuesday, June 27th at Cheers Restaurant here on East Main. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. again. So we're hoping to have even more businesses come out and meet each other and just make those connections and understanding how we can help.
I'd say it's a little bit of a traveling road show, right? Like, you know, mix it up, give some people some different looks, some different things. So just for people who aren't familiar with BIAs in general, if I'm a business and I happen to fall into, in this case, the downtown BIA catchment, am I automatically a member? How do I become a member? How does that work? What does that structure look like? And, you know, what benefits? And again, I don't have a business, but if I was, how do I benefit from being a member, and what can you do for me as a BIA?
That's a great question. So yes, as falling into the catchment area, you would automatically be a member of the BIA. So for example, once we learn of a new business, we do approach them, let them know who we are, guide them to our website, which we feel is the hub for information. So they can peruse that at their convenience to look through, see exactly what a BIA does, how we can help them. Then once somebody understands that, then there's those lines of communication are open, and we hear from our members all the time, various questions. There's also a lot of helpful information with such sponsors and events. And we've also got the bridge schedule up there. We've also got some grants in the form of Digital Main Street, for example, that they can connect with. And there's always an flowing information on there. So every time we're made aware of a small business grant, it goes up on our website. So there's a portal on there where our members can access information, even something as simple as garbage collection. There's a garbage collection schedule on there. Who do I reach out to if I lost my green bin? All that information is on there. So instead of having to make seven phone calls to the city or to the region to figure out who do I get a hold of, they can access a lot of that information by going to our website.
So you really are serving as a centralized hub for your catchment area businesses. You go year round. Is there a time of the year that you find most enjoyable, most rewarding, most you really dig into what you're doing simply because you've been doing this for a number of years and you know what to expect? There are a lot of unexpecteds, I'm sure, but is there a particular time of the year you get really amped up about being the executive director of a BIA?
I don't think there's a time of year necessarily, because we're involved in so many things throughout the whole year. I think the most satisfying part for me is when I see a new business open and succeed. When someone comes to me, a merchant, a year later and says, thank you, you've helped me immensely with my first year and all these trial and error, that for me is the best part, is seeing businesses succeed and seeing people's dreams succeed.
So I want to dig in more to the best part of being part of a BIA, but inevitably all of us have challenges in the work we do. As the sole staff person of a BIA, what are some of those challenges, especially what the community may not realize either you're responsible for or the work you take on?
Right. And I think you hit the nail right on the head there, is not understanding what a BIA does or what our role is. And sometimes people think we have a lot more power than we do, as I'm sure happens to city staff as well. So it's just the most challenging part would be getting people to understand what a BIA does and how we can help them, but also what we can't do. But what I try to do is I try to lead people in the right direction of who they can contact. You know, it's not a matter of saying, sorry, I don't do that, it's not my job, and hanging up the phone or walking away. It's a matter of trying to problem solve with them to find out how to get to the right person for that, or how to solve the problem with them. So that's a lot of the day-to-day as well. And that continues throughout the year and was highlighted, I think, especially during the pandemic with a lot of our transient friends that we saw in the downtown core and in and around businesses looking for assistance.
Do you feel that you have bounced back from the pandemic? Have you recovered from either what you were doing beforehand, or have you been able to shift to new ways of doing things post-pandemic?
Yes, there's been a definite shift. The businesses are still in recovery. It's going to take some years. This isn't going to be a 12 or 24 or I think even 36 month recovery period. I think it's going to take some more than others longer to recover, but we're definitely seeing a movement in the right direction. And we're getting there, and it's slowly but surely. And we keep advocating through our mother organization, the Ontario Business Improvement Area Association, for grant forgiveness, for different advocacy, for bylaws, etc., so that our businesses can continue to recover as fast as possible.
So, Alexis, before we let you go, and we'll give you the last word to cover anything that we may have missed, with Concerts on the Canal, just going back, I believe there are still question marks on the last act of the year. Are there still question marks?
Yes, Mark, there are still question marks, unfortunately. And those question marks will not be lifted until around August 8th.
Okay, around August 8th?
Around August 8th,
okay.
Yes.
All right, so for those who are curious, myself included, couldn't help myself but ask the question, keep an eye on the BIA, the Downtown BIA's Twitter, Facebook, social media, website, whatever, because the curiosity, you're doing a great job of piquing our curiosity. It's fantastic, a little bit of marketing, so kudos.
Thank you.
Okay, I asked, I didn't get the answer, that's okay. But Alexis, before we let you go, anything else we've missed, anything else you would like people to know about what you do, about what the Downtown BIA does, just anything about concert, anything. Open floor, we'll let you close us out of the episode.
Yes, I think I want to just say a very big thank you to our board and to our members in our catchment area who keep us going strong and who have proved themselves to be very resilient with all the challenges that we've faced in the last few years. And I think we're going to continue to see growth in our downtown and in our city as a whole. And it's only up from here. So thanks to our board of directors and to city staff for always working with us, all our community organizations that we partner with, and of course, our members.
Awesome. Well, Alexis, thank you again for joining us on What's Up Welland. You are a friend of the show, even though this is your first time here. You're a friend of us, so you're a friend of the show by default. We will have you back at some point. So we will throw some question marks on that date. They're not maybe as exciting as the ones you have, but that's okay. We will have you back. And thank you again so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you.
So again, big thank you to Alexis Higginbotham from the Welland Downtown BIA, Business Improvement Area, for joining us today on What's Up Welland. Unlike my hope at the beginning of the show, we weren't able to get those question marks revealed, at least not today, but in August, early August, keep an eye, and we will find out who that mystery entertainer or act or band or whoever it is, they will be revealed. But no, it was a great conversation with Alexis today to find out a little bit more about Concerts on the Canal, find out a little bit more about the BIA, what they do, what their membership is, how they operate, and all those good things. So always great to have people who really are, kind of boots on the ground in the city talking about and sharing information about what's happening and what they see and the people and businesses that they interact with that make well in the city it is. So, it was a great chat with Alexis. I'm really appreciative of her joining us, Paul.
You basically touched on everything I would have wanted to say. There are some of those organizations in the city of Welland that we take for granted because we know they're going to do certain things. We maybe get a sense of how they do them, but the beautiful thing of chatting with Alexis today is peeling back some of those layers as to exactly what goes into an event, especially something as popular as concerts, or how does a BIA function? What benefit do they bring to their members? What benefit does it bring to the city of Welland? So I don't know, like many of our guests, I get to nerd out in such conversations because I get to learn something that maybe I had an idea of before, but then you hear it from the source's mouth and it's eye-opening and there's that much more appreciation for who does what and how. And at the end, how does it benefit and make the city of Welland that shining place to live, work, play, and invest? So whether you are familiar with concerts, whether this is going to be your first summer experiencing them, definitely get out to our recreational waterway to check them out. It's a floating stage. You've got water right there. You've got a lot of open space. Enjoy it. Enjoy the act. And again, stay tuned for early August when we get to find out exactly who is showing up to close out the series. If you haven't heard any of our previous episodes, check them out at engagewelland.ca/podcast. Old episodes, new episodes are there. Follow us, check us out, and be back with us next week.